Be doubly blessed for regrouping and going again this afternoon. Amen? Amen. If you'll put my clicker back on the first part there of the sermon. Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask you to stand now. We're going to step back into the series I began on the first Sunday of October about framing your future with your mouth. And our memory verse this month as a congregation is Hebrews 11:3. And this is the foundational text for all the teaching that we've been sharing this month. So let's declare this together. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, now think about that a moment. Think about what that says about our God. Okay? One more time. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen... Well, wait a minute. Ron! Come back. Just a moment. I know you may have a commitment. But that's right, fine right there. I got a word for you. And then we'll come back to this. All right, I was going to share it in a moment, but I saw you get up. During worship, when we were worshiping a while ago, I felt like the Lord was saying that you are about to step in a season of advance and increase. I know you're big of stature in the natural, and like you were known on the gridiron on the football field. The Lord says you're going to become known in the kingdom, and that there's going to be a reconnecting of a number of people that you have known in days gone by. And it's like the Lord's going to, what He's doing through you is going to bring an infusion in their life. And you may have been carrying the ball or whatever you were doing back in those days, but it's like you're going to be a cheerleader on Team Jesus, and people are going to rally around what God's doing. Don't underestimate the size of the mantle and the scope of the voice that the Lord is going to give you. Because I feel like the Lord's telling me that, you know, your heart's bigger than you are. And He's opening it up, and there's going to be such a love out of a gentle giant that He's going to use in this area. So I didn't want you to leave without, I felt like I was supposed to be faithful to share that with you. And you be blessed. Blessed. Amen. 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 By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You may be seated. Isn't that such a powerful verse? That in the realm that's not visible to our natural eyes, there can be brought into the realm where it can be seen things that are not made by that which we do see. And the part of this series has been about understanding how things work in the realm of the Spirit so that God's will in heaven can manifest in earth. So God's kingdom can come and be done in the earth realm. And so I'm going to try not to revisit too much on things that we've covered. But we need to understand that, you know, when we get things in right order, and get God's Word in our mouth and heart and speak them out our mouth by faith, then powerful things can begin to happen in us, to us, and around us, and through us. All right? I remember a hilarious story of someone, Nikki and I, some of you know, older lady that we love dearly. This was years ago. She drove up to McDonald's and thought she was getting in the drive-thru lane, and she pulled up beside the curb, rolled down the window, and she places her order. And no one says anything. So she gives her order again. And so she's thinking, well, this thing must be tore up. And then she realized she had pulled up beside one of those curbside trash cans. And she was speaking to that trash can, you know, to get her order. And it's just hilarious. I can just see that happening. But it's a beautiful illustration of the fact that, you know, she was speaking, she knew what she wanted, and she was saying it, but nothing was happening. Why? She was out of order. She wasn't in alignment with what she needed to align with. And we are learning, like last week in Isaiah 55:11, such a powerful scripture, where the Lord talks about, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. In other words, it needs to be God's will. His word will always be carried out according to His will. And then He says, it shall prosper for that which I send it forth. In other words, we begin to see, oh, this is how God operates. He sends a word that is in alignment with His will to carry out His purpose, and it won't come back to Him void. Now, how does it make its way back to Him? Very often, it's when we receive that word into our heart and we get in alignment with it, with His will and His purpose, and we begin to speak it out our mouth, then it's returned to Him. And the power to bring it forth that's in the Word by faith is activated, and we begin to see things adjust to the Word that has been spoken. In other words, we get God's Word, we discern what the purpose of that Word is for our life, what God's will is in it, then by faith we can step in knowing that it will contain the power to bring forth the promise it carries. Isaiah 55:8-11, powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. And we've been seeing in Genesis 1, this is how God created the world. Now, today I want to talk to you about the light and glory principle. I got into this a little bit last week, so I want to try to move through this first part of the message quickly, and then I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit can manifest in our lives. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But first, the light and glory principle. Genesis 1:3, we saw God. He had created the heavens and earth. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep, and darkness upon the face of the deep. But that's where the Holy Spirit was moving. Then God began to speak into that, or over that, or where the Holy Spirit was hovering. And the result was dynamic, powerful, innovative, creative results. Okay? And that's that stirring spirit and the spoken word that works together. Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Why? Because God said it. It was. Because God said it, it was. It came into being. Romans 5, we saw God dealing with Abraham, that He called those things that be not as though they were. Abraham couldn't have children. Sarah couldn't. But God said it. He received it, started declaring, I'm the father of many nations. And what do you know? He became the father of many nations. So it's important we learn to get God's word, get in agreement with it, then stand on it, speak it, and pray it, and so forth. Interestingly, as I pointed out last week, in this verse, in verse 3, let there be light, we tend to think, well, yeah, and there's still light. But the light you see out there was not created until day 4. This is day 1. Day 4, God creates the sun, the moon, the stars. But before that, He said, let there be light, and there was light. So whatever the light was, it wasn't the sun, it wasn't the moon, it wasn't the stars. And I shared with you last week that I believe if God released the essence of His being, His glory. And so He released who He was into what He created. And then from that basically covered what He created with His glory. Now, we know sin came and everything got messed up. But at the restoration of all things, are we not told that there will come a time when the whole earth, it says that the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters do the sea? just like the waters covered the earth when it was in darkness and God spoke and light came. I believe God was releasing glory around what He was about to start bringing forth life out of. Hey, you want to see things start happening in the church, you just start seeing the manifestation of the glory of God in the service. We had some of that last February the 26th. It's powerful. And so let there be light, so that glory, God's in the glory, God begins speaking other things, forming, fashioning. He said things, He called things, He blessed things, He created all He created. We saw in Hebrews 11:3, He framed the worlds by the spoken word of God, the rhema, what He spoke out of His mouth for that moment. What was needed, He spoke it, and it was brought into being by the creative power of His essence and being, His glory. So that's the light and glory principle. But we see this, I believe, in very applicable to our life in the Spirit. Now let me go through a few things. When God manifested Himself, He looked at everything. He said, what? It's good. When He got through at the end of the sixth day, He said, it's very good. Then the seventh day, He rested from His works. It was very good. Everything was perfect. Remember what I told you about the unfallen Adam? He was perfect. He was pure. He was powerful. And everything He did contributed to benefit, blessing, and beauty. That's the first two chapters of Genesis. Now, this is the light and glory principle. In the New Testament, think of that in light of what Jesus taught His disciples. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. So what? Well, then they'll glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, when the light of God shines from us, men see God in us. They are drawn to Him and give Him glory. So Jesus taught this. Peter tells us that we've been given all things, he says in verse 3, and as His divine power has given us all things. What power? Divine power. God power. Has given to us all things what? That pertain to life and godliness. Whatever we need in this life, to live a godly life, to do God's will, to fulfill His purpose, we've already, as believers, get this, that has already been given us. It is ours. We have to learn how to access and appropriate it and use it by faith. He goes on to say, through the knowledge of Him who called us, how did He call us? By glory and virtue. That's the environment that the first Adam was created in an atmosphere of glory, purity, and virtue. When you got born again, it's the glory of God that's coming upon you. You were being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. God was manifesting upon your life and in your life, and He put in you what you would need to let that light shine. In other words, what He's put in us is supposed to manifest. And we'll see later. That word manifest is in the Scripture, and it means, it's from the Greek word phaneros, which means to shine forth. Adam, I shared with you, I believe he and Eve were clothed with glory. And when they sinned, their natural eyes were open to see what they were like in an unglorified state. And they were filled with shame and guilt and naked, and they hid from God. They were created to fellowship with God, but now they're hiding from God because when the life went out, the light went out. They had that in them. And so Peter goes on to say, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's the Word of God. The promises. That through these, through what? The Word of God. Through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now think about what that's saying. That in God's Word, in God's promise, that by them, in other words, when we feed on them, when we learn them, when we get the revelation in them, That teaches us how to release the nature that we've been given as believers, new creation, the divine nature, partakers. In other words, it lets us participate and demonstrate that we are in a partnership with God, our light shining and pointing to Him. And because of that, it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we can overcome the corruption in the world and the sinful desires of lust that would pull us away from God. That's overcome by learning who you are, the divine nature, and letting it manifest in your life. That's been given you by divine power, so you've got access to divine power. We're told you are a partaker of the divine nature. That's who you really are as a new covenant believer. And so you have these promises that are to be inculcated into your life so you can learn them, be educated in the realm of the Spirit so that you can manifest Jesus Christ, which is God's overarching purpose for you. He has predestined for you and me as believers that we be conformed unto the image of His own dear Son, Jesus Christ. Just as in the earth before the fall, God's glory manifested in the atmosphere of glory. He formed the dust of the ground. Then He went, put His life into that material body He had created, and the first man was created. He stood up and he was made in the image of God. Genesis, several times in the first two chapters, man is told, you are made in the image and the likeness of God. God is a spirit. So are you. God made a body for the spirit to live in. Your body is not you. Your body is yours. Your body is yours. You are a spirit. Your body is where your spirit lives. It's the house that your spirit lives in. That's who you really are. And God made the body out of the material realm, brought alive by His breath. But you are a spirit. And you're made in God's image. That's the reason you have imagination. You can be innovative and creative, and I've been teaching you that. It's the God nature in you that allows you to write that book that's never been written, paint that painting that's never been painted, sing that song that's never been sung, write that poem that's never been written, and so forth. Design that machine that's never been designed. Create architecture for a building that's never been seen before. That's God's image manifesting in your life. Now, it can be used corruptly, but when it's used correctly, it manifests glory to God, and men give God the credit for it, not you. So there's a lot in here, but we've got to jump ahead. Say, God is light. God said, let there be light. He's releasing who He is. God is light. 1 John 1:5. You can see it right there. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Say, God is light. God is light. Look at John 1:3 describing Jesus. We saw a little of this last week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we get to verse 3, it says, all things... Now listen, this is a direct reference connecting Jesus with Genesis 1. All things were made through Him. Creator, God, Jesus. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Remember, everything was made from nothing, right? He did that. Baraz, the Hebrew word, to bring into existence from nothing. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in Him, that's Jesus, now listen, was life. And the light was the light of men. The material world brought into being was given biological life. The animals were given zoological life. But spirit life is the God kind of life. When God breathed into Adam, he came alive just like the beast of the field. But he was different in the sense that he was made with a spirit, and God's spirit came and inhabited his spirit, forming a partnership and union with God. Jesus, we are told, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. When you introduce someone to Jesus Christ, and they by faith come to know Him, His life enters into their spirit, and they're made spiritually alive. They're already enjoying the blessings of the physical, material life when God created the world. That continues to be perpetuated. God put that biological, physical life inside of Adam, and it's continued to perpetuate and populate the world to this very day. But Adam lost the life of God that connected him in union spiritually with God, and Jesus came back to restore that part. And so now we have that union with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is love. 1 John 4:8 tells us God is love. So we know when God breathed into Adam, he received light, and he was a glorious being. He received life. He stood up alive, and he received love. He did everything he did in an atmosphere of love, because God is love. When we are in correct union with God and our life is clicking on all cylinders like God created us to, we manifest light, we manifest life, and we manifest His love. Because when you got saved, God, the Word says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Just as God formed Adam out of that dust, just as surely when you said yes to the gospel, the life of God came in you, and now He is forming and fashioning you into the image of His own dear Son, Romans 8:29, whom we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His own dear Son. You see that? That we might manifest the life of Christ. Remember, in His life is the light of men. When we manifest His life, we are shining forth His light. Now, what's God after? I want you to see the big rocks. God created everything. He created man in His image. So therefore, man learns to operate like God did when He created things. And now, we want to manifest that. We want to manifest that part of the divine nature. How is that done? Well, we're told here when Jesus is having the conversation with a woman at the well, she starts bickering about, well, we say we're to worship in this mountain. You say you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus begins in verse 23. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. You see, it's not about where you worship, it's about who you worship. When you get that right, He'll tell you where you need to worship. The true worshipers will worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. Now think of those two areas. Already been teaching this month a lot about truth. That's God's Word. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Okay, we want to take our stand on the foundational principles and teachings. The truth of Scripture, God's Word is true. As Pastor Doc mentioned Wednesday night, it doesn't just contain the truth. It is the truth. And that's important we understand that. God's Word is powerful. It is God-breathed. Isn't that something? God breathed on a pile of dust. It became a man. And God breathed on His Word, and it still has life too. Just like the human race still has life, when God spoke it, it still got life in it, and it's still doing what it's always done. It's got that seed principle I talked about last week. Right? So that's the Word. But also He's looking for people to worship in Him in spirit. It's not just going through outward natural motions and memorizing things and informing your intellect. It's about being made alive to God, being in divine union, having an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, discovering who we really are, and that this life can be filled with great joy, and we can manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and we can manifest the gifts of the Spirit. This is another way that light manifests. The activity of God manifesting through us, just like God's activity manifested on the earth that He had created. And look how He formed, fashioned, and what He created that's still operating. And He wants to manifest in our life to see things that are dead brought to life, things that are in darkness to let the light shine. To come to the light. Isn't it interesting? I just find it interesting that if you do the research and study about people who have near-death experiences or people who have died and come back, you know, near-death experiences. I remember hearing my mama share about, and I told you a story about when I was born, about how she left her body and she was able to tell her family what they were talking about in the waiting room, all kind of crazy stuff like that. But it's one of the interesting things is the vast majority that have had the NDEs, they call them, near-death experiences, they testify to the fact that they see a bright light and they're hurling toward it. Isn't that something? It's almost like at the end, you head back to the beginning. Let there be light. God is light. Okay? That's an aside. Back to this. He's worshiping in spirit and in truth. So, how do we manifest things in the spirit? Well, here's the gifts of the spirit. But just briefly, before I get to that, I want to remind you, last week I shared this, that when we are in union like we need to be, and we're aligning with the Word, we're understanding God's will, and we're doing it, fulfilling His purpose, we manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Because Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. He spoke what He heard the Father speaking. He manifested the Father's will and carried out the Father's purposes on the earth. When we're doing that, we manifest Jesus because we're doing what He did. And the fruit of the Spirit is a listing, I believe, of the character qualities of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a study in and of itself. That, and you know, that begins with the fruit of the Spirit is love. In the Greek, the word love is like the big boy in the group. Everything else kind of clusters around it. It's the center, which is a beautiful picture of God manifesting. And when Jesus walked the earth, that's what emanated from Him. He's shown that forth from His life. The fruit of the Spirit are these. And that's put in Galatians 5:22. But Galatians 5:19 and following gives us a list of the works of the flesh that are in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. So that's really interesting. I'm not going to spend any more time on that, but it's worth you studying. I want to talk about now, for the remainder of my time, how the Spirit manifests through the gifts of the Spirit. The church is composed of all born again by the Spirit believers. John 3, you must be born again. So that's Jesus' way of teaching, that just as you had a physical birth and you were in your mother's womb in a body of water and then you were expelled out of there, the cord was cut, and then you were born. You were born. That's the first birth when you were born. So he told a religious leader, you must be born again, which was confusing to him, but he was talking about in the realm of the Spirit. The Spirit is born. He said, you must be born by the Spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. You know, you're born of the water in the flesh, but you also must be born of the Spirit. Just like the earth was created, it was covered in water, and God brought forth out of that all living things. When a person's born, they are surrounded by water, and you're brought forth out of that and birthed into the earth. But there is a spiritual birth where you were born by the Spirit of God, where God puts His life into you, and you are born into a new realm of being. Now you are in union with a spiritual realm through God. Now you can learn who you really are, why you are really here, what you are to really do, how you are to really live. And we are to live being led by whom? Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How do you know if you've been born of God in the Spirit? Because you're led by the Spirit who birthed you again. Does that make sense? So you're led by the Holy Spirit. Let me, I'm going to try to illustrate how we manifest under the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. All right? I want everybody to say, praise the Lord. All right. In a moment, I'm going to do this. I'm going to point with my hand. And when my hand points in your direction, I want you to say, praise the Lord. Okay? Can you do that? I want all of you to do it, if you will. because I'm going to say something. You're going to hear it. I want you to receive it. And I want you to act on it. All right? Praise the Lord. Now I want you to say, bless God. We need to manifest more. Manifest means to let the light out or to come out into the light. Even the nature of revelation means that light is shining. And I'm not going to get into it today, but the Lord's been teaching me some things about how we are able to step in and receive revelation and how that operates in a way different than I've known, but I'm not ready to share that yet. But this, what we're doing right now, I just decree and declare that for the holy purposes and will of God, the Grace House family is going to manifest more in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I decree and declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we at God's, as God's people here at Grace House, are going to manifest more for His honor and glory in Jesus' name. Now, this may be TNT, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to encourage you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And while I'm talking, if I say something that you receive and you think it's something that you agree with, that's when we say amen. Okay? If it's something that encourages you, praise the Lord. I needed that. Bless you. That, you know, in other words, we're acknowledging we have heard. And we're responding by what we speak out our mouth. Now, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit also to lead us. And I know sometimes we can get into things just doing something because we've done it. You know, the Lord's good. Amen. And the Lord really blessed me. Amen, He does, preacher. The devil's mean. He sure is. You know, and right on down and like, this world is on its way to hell. Hallelujah. You know, not paying attention. You're just doing it out of rote. But I am talking that we must learn to receive God's word and actively receive it and begin to respond to it in some way. So I'm just saying, if you want to try that out, just go for it. Okay. So the Holy Spirit manifests, and so when we learn to pay attention to when we feel like God's speaking to us, then we're going to see the gifts function more in our life. And when it happens here, it's great, but you know where we really want to see it working is where you work, where you go to school, in your home, out in the marketplace, where you shop, and so forth, and to, why? So that our light can shine. The Holy Spirit can manifest in our lives so that people will glorify God by what they've seen happening. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 12:7, the Apostle Paul, writing to a church that flourished in the gifts, so much so they needed some correction. But he wasn't throwing water to put their fire out. He was just creating some boundaries so there wouldn't be wildfire. But he gives us some basic teaching in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is. Now you stop right there. We've already learning something. The Bible says the Spirit does manifest. Most time when we say, "Oh, I saw that Spirit manifest," we're talking about demonic stuff. Well, yeah, those spirits manifest too. But we need to recognize the Holy Spirit manifests in people. And how does He do that? Well, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now that's encouraging because it means nobody, no believer in here is left out. Given to each one for the benefit of everybody. In other words, remember in the beginning when God was manifesting beauty, benefit, and blessing? Same kind of principles. All right? It's for the profit of all. Now he's going to begin to list nine gifts of the Spirit that's included in this passage. For to one is given the word of, which notes that word, because we're talking about Spirit and truth, Spirit and the Word, speaking the Word, a word of wisdom through the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. You know, it's interesting here. Paul is wanting it to be very clear that what he is saying is this manifestation is taking place by the direction and orchestration of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to benefit and be a blessing to all, okay? He keeps coming back to that. Through the same Spirit, verse 9, to another faith by the Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, and the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So here, this is a message to the church, the believers, ecclesia. The way that we're to operate is under the orchestration of the Holy Spirit. And it's really a beautiful picture. I was thinking about this when I studied it, that it's like the Holy Spirit is our conductor. We are God's orchestra. And what is released through us under His leadership adds blessing, benefit, and beauty to the world. So the Holy Spirit conducts and leads and orchestrates. And then what's released through us is a beautiful song, if you will, a beautiful sound. So there's nine of these gifts. I'm going to go ahead and put them up here. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. I want to talk about them just for a few minutes now. Because these are ways the Holy Spirit, among others, but these are some specific, powerful, spiritual, and supernatural ways that God's light can manifest, God's glory can manifest in our life, is when we are good stewards of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are that function in us and release those. Okay? And I would think that the boundaries would be the same for the release of the Word. It'll be according to God's will, and it will carry out God's purpose. Those are some good guardrails. So, the word of wisdom. This is not talking about wisdom you gain from studying Socrates or Plato or any of the great philosophers. No. This is not even a direct reference, necessarily, of the wisdom you glean from reading God's Word, which is powerful, right? I mean, that's how we get our wisdom, is from God's Word. But this is talking about a gift of a word of wisdom. You always want to walk in wisdom, live wisely, but this is a gift of a word of wisdom. And I've seen numbers of you that have operated this way, where there was a situation or a problem to solve, a question that needed to be answered, a situation to address, and direction was needed from the Lord, and a word of wisdom was given to handle that in a way that God's will would be done and His purpose would be fulfilled. It's not human wisdom. It's given wisdom. Wisdom given by the Holy Spirit in a moment. And some of you have gotten words like that that helped adjust your life on the right course. I was reading a story of someone who had been addicted to drugs for years. They were strung out. And they had got into rehab. They were trying to get their life straightened out. And they were out walking in a park, and there was a lady sitting at the bench. They sat down at the bench by the lady, and just enjoying the day and just really struggling, you know, with all the temptation and everything. And the lady sitting on the bench turned to this woman and began talking to her and basically said, "You are not your addiction." And then she began to talk to her some more out of that. But this person testified that one word helped adjust her life because she was building her identity around her addiction. And the lady shared with her about that God has a purpose for you. And she began to look at things differently. She came to the point she gave her life to Christ, got involved in church, and now being used from the Lord. That happened because of a word of wisdom. Because she was struggling, needing an answer. What am I going to do? Why am I, you know? And that word helped set her free. It can work that way. There are words of knowledge. Again, this is not human knowledge that you learn at the library or learn on the internet or learn by reading or learn by study. This is knowledge given that you could not humanly have available to you. In simple terms, sometimes it's knowledge given to you about somebody that you don't know, and yet it's intimate knowledge that they know. Sometimes it's something they know no one else even knows about them. But God shows it to you. Why? To open their heart so His light, His life, and His love can shine in. And I've seen that happen hundreds of times through the years. And now the enemy knows things, and he can do that supernaturally at times. But he doesn't know any. He's still believing a lie about his own future. See, the Holy Spirit not only knows what you've done, but knows where you're going, what you need, and tell you something about your future. And sometimes that kind of information comes through a prophecy. Some prophecies can have words of knowledge in them and words of wisdom in them, and be also a prophecy in the sense that God is speaking to you about who you are to become, what He has for you, where you are to go. And you may feel totally opposite of everything you're hearing. Well, I don't think I could ever do that, and nobody else has ever seen that in me. That's God trying to align you with His will and His purpose. And the sooner you begin adjusting to that and receiving that and getting in the book and learning more about who you really are, then you start coming alive. You start seeing God move and work in your life. I may jump around in these. I probably won't cover all of them adequately, but the word of knowledge, it works that way. Sometimes it works in conjunction. Words of knowledge can work in conjunction with gifts of healings. Now, this is plural, gifts and plural healings. It's almost like the Holy Spirit can give someone a gift for this healing. I've seen that happen. I've heard people testify, and I've noticed in my own walk in life, there are certain things that I pray for. I see a much higher success rate than it seems like with other things. But then again, you can't let that keep you from operating in faith in those things. Because healings can come by you just getting God's Word and feeding on it and build up your faith to believe, God healed me because it says, by His stripes I'm healed. Healing can come that way. Sometimes healing can come because someone anointed that's doing what God's called them to do places their hands on you and says, be healed in the name of Jesus. And because of that committed word Jesus gave to the church to go forth, that He would confirm His word with signs following, it becomes a confirmed word, a sign pointing to Jesus, and people are led to salvation to that. Sometimes it may come because you think, I'm going to pray, ask those leaders to pray for me and anoint me with oil. You're standing on the Word of God, but by obedience to the written Word, leaders do what God says to do, and you get your healing. The prayer of faith will save the sick. All of these require faith. All these gifts operate in faith. Even that gift of faith, there's a saving faith that you have when you get saved. There's a living faith that you're to live by day. There's a serving faith where you trust God in what you're doing to benefit others. But this is a gift of faith that God gives you for, again, to carry out His will for a particular purpose. A gift of faith. I saw that come upon my wife. I'd been filled with the Spirit 2 years. I'd been praying for her to be filled with the Spirit. And the Lord had already, was already dealing with me that you're going to be stepping out from pastoring, just stepping out and leaving all visible means of support and income. And I began to share some of that with Nikki, and she said, well, you know, the Lord will provide. But when she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gave her a gift of faith. Because we'd be talking about, well, you know, if we step out from the church, oh, it's going to be fine. God's going to take care of us. I've got faith for that. You see, when the Spirit filled her up, He released that gift of faith for her so that together we could be in agreement and see God do things we never thought we would see such things. That's the gift of faith, and it can express its way in our leadership here. We took a big step of faith to build this building. You know, it took faith. But God gave us the faith to build this building. You know? The gifts of healing, again, plural. Sometimes people may have a stronger anointing in one area than others. But there are times when you may be ministering to someone that's got a certain ailment or disease or sickness or issue. And the Holy Spirit just says, I'm going to release the healing for that through you right now. And at that point, it becomes a gift. And it's not about how this great faith you have, but it's really the Holy Spirit stepping in and releasing it. And I've seen that happen. I remember the very first monthly night of healing that we had. Now we're doing them on Saturday mornings. But the very first one, it was awesome. The things we start, there can even be an atmosphere of healing. Because that night, there was a group from a church across in the area who came. And I forget the issue, but some woman was having some kind of really bad issue, TMJ or something like that. And when she stepped across the threshold and put her foot in the building, she got healed. Meeting hadn't even started. She hadn't come up or anything. It's just in the atmosphere, she got healed. But in that night, I had a word of knowledge about somebody who had a frozen shoulder, and a young man came up. He came up like this, hadn't been able to move it. I've forgotten how long it had been, a couple of years, had some kind of injury. He said, I've been to the doctor. I've got surgery scheduled on this. Y'all remember this? Yeah. And he stood there. And when I saw him come up the aisle, I felt faith rise up in me. And I believe this was more in the line of a working of a miracle, because an atmosphere of faith. If this room can get full of people full of faith, expecting God to do the impossible, that faith then begins to invite an atmosphere of glory. And when glory begins to manifest, things start happening to people who haven't even asked for it. Sometimes it happens to people that they don't even believe it can happen. That's just God's mercy and God's love. That's just a kaboom bomb moment for the Holy Spirit. And it's awesome. But that young man came up. When I saw him, I felt faith rise up in me. And I told him, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And when I pray for you and you're healed, you're going to know it's Jesus Christ. You believe that? He said, yeah, I believe it. I said, put my hand on him and said, in Jesus' name, I bind this pain. I command this shoulder to be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now move it. And that young man, he could not move it for 2 years. He started moving that thing, and it wasn't 15 seconds. He was helicoptering. Woo! He was excited. We were celebrating. And that started with a word of knowledge, but there was an atmosphere of faith. And it could be said the Lord, through a gift of healing, did that. But I believe it was all that came together, a working of a miracle. Because the working of miracles suggests of maybe getting a word of wisdom about how to do it, which way you're supposed to go about it, any instruction that needs to surround it, all of that. So I encourage you not to try to create all these little neat boxes for each of these gifts. And please don't take a test and say, okay, that's my gift. And by doing that, you're going like this to every other gift. And you're going like this to all the other gifts. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. He is the gift giver. And you will find whatever's needed, He can use you to do it. Now, most of us will acknowledge that He chooses to use us in some ways more than other ways. But don't ever embrace an attitude that says, well, that's my gift. By suggesting that's my gift and I'm not touching any of the others. Because you may be causing other people not to be blessed through what God wants to do through you. Does that make sense? And prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all of these are very powerful things. I shared with the early service, Jim Summers, who's the man that led Stephen Hill to the Lord. Stephen Hill was the evangelist of the Great Brownsville Revival. But Jim Summers, up in the Priceville area, toward Huntsville, he invited me to come minister at a tent meeting he was having. Jim Summers was also the man that laid his hands on me when I got empowered by the Holy Ghost. It was a very powerful experience for me. So he invited me to come up there and minister. On the way up there, I had one of my buddies that was driving, and he's driving me all over the country in those days. And we had this thing worked out. He would just drive. We'd turn the worship music on. And I could just sit there and pray with my eyes closed wherever we was going. And we were on the way up there. And while I'm praying, I start getting these little visions, images. But that's how words of knowledge often come to me. I'll see images or I'll feel things in my body. They come to people in different ways, but that's the way it works with me most of the time. And so we were going to this meeting, and just like that, I started getting all these little video clips playing in my head. And I just started writing down, okay, I see a blonde-headed woman. She's got on a red dress. And I started feeling pain right here. I'm going through this. Please, I'm not trying to call attention to myself. I'm trying to teach you how this works for me. All right? But I started feeling like it was like knotting up in this part of my body. But see, I'm seeing a woman with blonde hair and a red dress. When I felt that, I heard the Lord said fibroid tumors. So I said, okay, all right. It's a left ovary. It's fibroid tumors. And she's got a red dress on and blonde-headed. I wrote that down. Then I saw a farmer on a tractor, and I saw eyes just really red, like bloodshot. Something had been injured. And I wrote down, I did that for 8 or 10 different things. And when I got in the meeting, when I was ministering, I just said, somebody's here, a woman. You've got blonde hair. You're wearing a red dress, and you've been having trouble in your left ovary. You've got fibroid tumors, and the Lord wants to heal you tonight. And boom, like that, a woman comes up. She's crying. She's weeping. We pray for her. She had been to the doctor. She had fibroid tumors in her left ovary. She had blonde hair and she had a red dress. It was all there. That was something the Holy Spirit gifted for her. He used me, but the gift was for her. He was loving on her and saw it with a farmer. He came up, and it's just, that's the way it works sometimes. Discerning of spirits. Well, there's different kinds of spirits. There are angelic spirits, there are demonic spirits, there's the Holy Spirit, there's human spirit. That just simply means the ability to know and discern, to differentiate between those spirits. Sometimes in ministry, you may be ministering to someone, and you become aware, oh, I'm dealing with a spirit of infirmity here, or a spirit of rejection. You don't have to know the name, but sometimes that just comes to you. Or you've learned, when you pray for a lot of people over time, you even learn to start interpreting what you're feeling when you're praying for different people. And the Holy Spirit can even use that where well, I felt this before, and this is what it was, so I'm going to ask. Is this what it is? Yes, that's what it is. That's the training, where your senses are trained to discern. Your spiritual senses, if you will, are trained to discern what the Holy Spirit's doing and what the Holy Spirit is saying. Tongues, interpretations of tongues, I'd love to do a whole, I may just do a whole message on this, but not now. But there are different kinds of tongues. You know, some people, when they have hands laid on, they're baptized with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak with tongues. That happened on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes tongues is the ability to speak in an unlearned human language. Not a learned human language. It's not like, well, I went on a mission trip and this guy had learned to speak Spanish and he interpreted for me. He's got the gift of interpreting tongues. Well, yeah, naturally he's got a gift for interpreting tongues. He learned. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the supernatural ability to discern what's being said in a language you've never studied, that you don't know and you haven't learned. Sometimes it's human languages. Sometimes it is heavenly languages. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, which is the love chapter, it tells us what kind of atmosphere the gifts flourish best in. It's an atmosphere of love. You can study it. But he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. That tells us right there, there are tongues of men, that we human tongues, and there's tongues of angels. Angels are spirit beings. There's heavenly tongues. There's spiritual languages. And some people, I've had times when I'm praying in tongues, sometimes, I need to say this. A message in tongues is like in a setting like this, and we have that happen from time to time, when somebody begins to speak out loud in a tongue, it will usually be in a time when everybody can hear, and it'll be spoken, and then we will wait, and somebody will get the interpretation. That's an interpretation. Why the interpretation? Well, that's so that people can be edified in the room. But aside from that, you can be speaking in tongues, praying. I love what Derek Prince teaches on this. He talks kinds of tongues. Kinds is plural, and tongues is plural in this passage. So there's different kinds of tongues. Sometimes you may be praying in a tongue, and the Bible says this, when you're praying in an unknown tongue, your mind's unfruitful. And this is the major stumbling block for people who want to be able to speak in tongues. Paul said, I pray that you all speak in tongues. You know, he did have some things to say about when it's in a public assembly so that it can be done orderly. But praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, is, I believe, available to believers. Now, a gift of speaking in tongues would be when that tongue manifests in a service, which basically it becomes a prophetic word. Okay? These gifts can commingle. They can work together and cluster together. And I don't have time to get in that either. Maybe I'll teach some more on this later. But the tongues, interpretation tongues, sometimes you may just be praying in the Spirit at home, and it's like you can tell you're in intercession. You can just tell I'm interceding. Sometimes it helps me, like if I'm praying in the natural about something, because I've framed my area of thought, and that's the direction things are pointing, because I believe that's what the Lord's got me praying about. Then I will shift and begin praying in a tongue, and it's just like you can tell that you're praying into that in an intercessory way. That's just the Holy Spirit orchestrating, laying on your heart to pray for something, then moving through you by the Spirit to pray what needs to be prayed, because in Romans 8, we hear about groanings that cannot be uttered, the Holy Spirit praying according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is never at a deficit of knowing what God's will is in any situation. Sometimes we struggle to know, but we can shift and start praying in tongues and know that we're praying in the will of God. Sometimes it may be intercessory prayer. Sometimes it may become warfare praying. I call it militant warfare praying. I've had that happen before. I've only had a message in tongues publicly just a few times in my ministry, as far as like a message in tongues. But I remember at Old Grace House a year or two ago, very strongly, this tongue came upon me, and it was very militant. I could feel it. I could sense it. And when it was over, I felt like a little wilt puppy, to be honest with you. Like, who was that? What was that? But I know it was the Lord, you know. I'm confessing here, the natural man struggles with the spiritual man sometimes. The natural man can struggle with how the spiritual man manifests. I'm pretty easygoing guy, but sometimes, you know, the Spirit comes upon you. It's like Gideon. He was just trying to hide, and then the Lord clothed himself with Gideon, and he became a warrior, you know. So we move in and out of this, and these tongues can be intercessory. They can be militant. They can be, sometimes you can tell you're praising the Lord in tongues. And you know that. You just praise in the Lord. Sometimes you may be singing in the Spirit, and you're releasing the lyrics and messages through the song that you're singing. So there's different kinds of different tongues. So I think I hit most of those just a tad. But bottom line is we want to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in us. And be sensitive to that. And it's going to require faith and believing that you're hearing what the Lord is saying. But stay humble with it. You know, when I share a word with somebody, I usually try to encourage them, you pray about this. If this is the Lord, His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Because I don't want to take something credit for something that's not the Lord. And neither do I want it to, come across the wrong way. So we want to be humble and try to be gracious again, I firmly believe the gifts of the Spirit will never violate the fruit of the Spirit. You know, sometimes the prophetic can get, but I've seen people slice and dice folks with the prophetic. And listen, when you got a message like that, you need to give it with a tear in your eye. Because we can get tricked into the enemy manipulating us, and we don't want to do that. These are manifestations of the Spirit. God said, let there be light, and who He was shone forth. And we are the light of the world, and Jesus, His life is the light of men. His life is in us. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. So we want to be a congregation where the Holy Spirit manifests. 7 days a week, 24/7, wherever, just be available for the Holy Spirit to move and work through us to the glory of God. Amen? All right. Thank you for your patience. But you're going to have all afternoon to eat hot dogs and chili. And let's stand. I'm going to ask our prayer team members, our worship team, to come on up. Let's just demonstrate our no, I don't want to say it that way. Let's have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to manifest. And what we're going to do is you just be praying. There may be someone who has a prophetic word up here. Let's pray that gifts of healing, you know, and when prophetic comforts, encourages, edifies, let's pray that this will be an edifying time. Lord, we just pray that everything here would add blessing, benefit, and beauty in this atmosphere today. And before we start the music, is anyone sensing a word in any way? And we'll hear and judge, and then we'll go forth. I'll give the opportunity. If not, that's fine. Sean, Mickey, come on up, brother. This is our brother, Sean.
I was hearing it when you were finishing. It is a time of a greater release of the Holy Spirit in this place. It's a time for us to step up. It's a time for us to step into the things that we're called to. Each one of you has gifts and callings. You're marked by the Lord. And this is a season of increase, a great increase in the Holy Spirit in this region. A great increase of the release of the power of the Spirit through us, in us. Every one of those things He taught about. There's even more when you look at the Scriptures of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But this is to be a place where the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I just feel it on me. I'm trembling, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving in us in such a way that people are touched. When you're at work, when you're at Walmart, wherever you are, when you're at home and things get crazy, maybe your home life's not good. The gifts of the Spirit are manifesting, and the kingdom of God has come.
Amen. Well, let's receive that. You know what? I'll tell you what let's do based on that word. I want to ask our staff and leaders, we're going to do a tunnel. You won't find that word in the Bible. You might, but I'm just talking about what we're talking about. Is this allows for a corporate impartation to take place. And here's what I'm going to do. You can leave whenever you want to leave. No guilt. If you got places to go, things you need to do, it's fine. But what we're going to have music play, and I'm going to ask our leaders to line up. And in addition to our leaders, I know we have a couple of prayer groups. If you are faithfully involved in the Tuesday night, I know two different prayer groups, at least those two prayer groups, I want you to come and be up here. Get one line facing that way and the other line facing this way. Bless those of you watching online. We'll see you later. Come visit with us. And then, yes. And what we're going to do, look, we're going to go around this way, look, and go through. And they're going to hold their hands out. Now, I want to ask those of you who are laying on the hands to do something. Just be praying, maybe pray in tongues, pray. But we don't really have time to stop people and spend time with each person. That'll keep a lot of people from coming through because they've got places to go. But just let them come through. If they don't make it all the way through, we'll drag them out to the side, okay? But let's just believe that this will be a time of impartation, of stirring up. And if you were to get a word for someone, then pull them out to the side. Let just let the people keep going. I don't want to be trying to control things too much here, but I am responsible for kind of having some order in the room. That's part of my responsibility. So we're going to have worship. And so, Holy Spirit, have your way. Just begin to worship with me. Lord, we just ask you to carry out your will and fulfill your purpose, Lord. We just step into this word. This is a time for the gifts to be activated, for the gifts to begin to manifest. This is a time for each of us to manifest in the way that you want us to. This is the time for an outbreaking of the Holy Spirit in the ecclesia that will result in power, powerful change, creative miracles, innovative revelations given to people that will bless the world. This is the time. Have your way, O Lord Jesus. Stretch forth your hand, O Lord, that there would be activation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the flow of these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Just believe you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit if you've never been baptized. This direction. Come this way. Go ahead and start over here. Y'all are out here to get the first fruit blessing right over here. Just start walking through slowly and receiving in Jesus' name. Just receive. May you need some of our men helping with this. Feel free to touch people as they come by. Lay hands on them. We just speak blessing. Power! 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 Holy Spirit power! Holy Spirit power! Holy Spirit power! More, Lord! More! More! And after you go through, you can go on. You can go to the regions beyond. You can sit, settle in, whatever you want to do. Thank you all for being here today.